I'm going to read something here for you. I'm going to give a long message on this sometime in the future. Many of you come from a very Christian background. Now, I'm not anti-Christian. There's something that is missing. There was a question asked. What is the gospel? This was written to me, a question. I'm going to read it. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, which reveals that sin is and it leads to death. That being dead, wherein we were held, were held to face that death penalty, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, as the Messianic Jew was taught. The first part of this sense makes sense to me, but I guess I have trouble understanding the second part, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. That in, what is the newness of spirit? What is the oldness of the letter? I wrote back. Yes, there is a great difference between the Christian gospel and the Messianic gospel, and one must be careful of both gospels. There is only one gospel, and that gospel is the Elohim gospel. Be careful and take heed how you hear. Go to the gospel of Elohim, which is in the law and the prophets. Go to the apostles, for they are the first foundation of the living temple of Elohim, along with the prophets. Yahuwah is the beginning of that temple. That is a very interesting answer. Okay, so the word gospel means good news, right? I thought that the good news is the forgiveness of sins through Yahshua's blood. The gospel message I am familiar with is that all have sinned, fallen short, that we must believe in Yahshua as the Messiah, confess with our mouths that He is the Lord, and repent of our sins, and that He would make us clean. It is not by works that you have been saved, but by the gift of God, that no man should boast. Romans. Is what the gospel message? What am I missing, if anything? What am I missing, if anything? All right. What is missing is the beginning. What is missing is what this English word or gospel is overused so many times that we all in the Christian world assume it means this. No, it doesn't. It's just a word of gospel. There's the faith of gospel, there's hope of gospel, there's salvation of gospel. It means good news about this, good news about that, good news about this. Where on earth did it first show up? Well, Jesus went about all of Galilee, Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease around. Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and is saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay. What is the kingdom of God? It tells us in the very beginning that was what Jesus was preaching. He wasn't preaching that I am going to, you know, save you. I'm the salvation of everyone, and you can love me and keep me. No, he said, first thing he said, why would you, if this good news, if this good sound, if it's wonderful things, why must you repent? No, he says, repent because the kingdom of God is coming. Now, when you repent, guess what it does for you? You're in the world of good news. You won't be killed. Do you think the book of Revelation is in vain? We know at the very end a great wrath is going to come. Do you think God is saying, oh, by the way, the gospel must be preached to all the world. What gospel? Wow. If it's not preached, the kingdom of God not preached in the world, but it will be preached to all the world, what's going to happen? The world must do something. What must they do? They must repent. If it's good news, why repent? So in the beginning, the gospel has to do with one thing. It starts out with repentance. Why? Because the kingdom of God is coming, and it's going to come with great power. Great power. Not mediocre stuff. Now, I don't have any disagreement at all. Apostle Paul is very clear on it. There is a gospel of salvation. Yeah. If you repent. Why would you want to repent for? Because, you know, I love God. No, he says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you seek the kingdom of God, when you come to know the righteousness of God, what are you going to do with it? Ignore it? You're going to live in it. You're going to walk in it. You're going to be part of it. And when you are, guess what happens? You don't have to be afraid of the kingdom of God. You will be it. You'll be part of it. You're part of it. You're joined with it. You're connected with it. Now, just in case you think that Apostle Paul didn't talk about anything else except the, you know. I'll read Acts 1, chapter 3. Acts 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why did he have to tell them and teach them that? Why was he warning them for? Because that's their job. Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, that they were baptized, both men and women. Preach the kingdom of God first. Then you'll understand the Messiah. Why he did what he did. Why he is there. Why he is a salvation. So the gospel has everything to do with the kingdom of God. If there was no kingdom of God ever going to come, you don't have to sweat it. Right? Don't have to worry about the wrath of God anymore. But where does it say the wrath of God is at? It's in the Torah and it's in the prophets. You think God is not mad? You think the wrath of God? Revelation says you don't want to be in the winepress. You don't want to be the winepress of the wrath of God. Why does it say that for? He doesn't want you to be there. How are you going to get out of that? Of what? Why would you repent for? And if you don't seek the kingdom of God, you're dead. You're going to suffer a tremendous amount of pain. Tremendous amount. You'll be waiting and gnashing of teeth. You understand what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is more than just, oh, Oh, let's go out and preach Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus. From what? What's he saving you from? Oh, the ever fire burning hell. Where is that in the Bible? He's not going to throw you in if you don't repent. Why should I repent for? Hey, look, he says, hey, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't you know it's coming? We preach about or talk about the great second coming of Christ, right? We all wait for this great second coming of Christ. You think he's going to come gentle? He's going to come to institute something. What's he going to come to institute? The kingdom of God. And it's not going to be good news. It takes over 1,000 years. He's very patient, very kind, to slowly bring about mankind to that point. They have to make a decision. Then a great destruction takes place before the great white throne judgment. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to submit to the kingdom of God. Why is the kingdom of God made up of turtle doves? Or made up of power? Strength. Mike, he's the one that destroyed the earth with the flood. Powerful God.
I know this is a really simple question, but I ask myself this a lot. What does it mean to seek the kingdom in my life on a daily basis? What does it mean for me to seek the kingdom? And I know that, that the Lord's Prayer, Yeshua's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to pray that kind of model, you know.
Right.
So I'm always thinking now I think about the kingdom. I used to think about the kingdom as like more of a spiritual, like he is the king and the kingdom is in my life and, you know, more of an individual kind of thing of just submitting more to the king.
Here's a very not understood terminology. It says here in Luke 17.
But it seems like a both, like it's a spiritual, but it's also a it's going to be a more substantial, you know. It's coming.
Are you, my dear, in the kingdom of God? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. When you're in there, what are you going to do?
When I'm in there,
you're going to live righteously, right? You're going to walk in and find out what is righteousness. Thy word is truth. Thy word is righteousness. You're going to go to the living creator of heaven and earth. You're going to find out what he says. And you're going to do something. Oh, teach me the righteousness. The book of Psalms is full of that. Teach me your ways. Teach me your righteousness. Teach me your ways, O Lord. And keep me in them. I want to stay in them. That's what we do. And I know that in your heart. That's where you're at. That's where you want to be. And that's where you are. Mm-hmm. All right? But the kingdom of God is not an abstract thing with God. If you're not connected now, you won't be connected when he institutes it.
Because it always seems like, and as we're studying and learning more, there's always not just a physical, but there's a spiritual, and not just a spiritual, but there's like a physical. And so just like Jesus is our Sabbath rest, there's also a Sabbath, a literal Sabbath. So it's like there's always, you know, and we always replaced the physical with the spiritual.
Correct. And we are now part of a country called the United States of America, right? We are in a government. We are under a government. We are within that government. We have one or two things to do with it. You either obey it or disobey it. When we disobey it, you know what's going to happen to you. Bad news, right? So you stay within the Constitution, best of your ability. And if you stumble and fall, they're not going to throw you in prison and kill you. And you say, they had to fine you or sentence you or do something have to do with you for infraction of it. That is, if you violate the Constitution, something's going to happen to you. All right? Now, so it's the same situation with the kingdom of God. You're walking within the kingdom of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. And when you read the word of God, when you read that part, you start saying to yourself, am I there? Do I want to be there? The answer is always yes. Help me, Almighty God, like David said, help me to be and stay within your teachings. Help me obey your commandments. Help me to respond. Because, you know, David was not a weak man. Daniel goes through it. Very strong, powerful man, but at the same time, humble.
It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
And his righteousness.
And his righteousness.
You can't separate one or the other.
Yeah.
You got to, both are connected to there.
Yeah.
All right.
that's all. I'm going to go on a longer talk about this. What I'm trying to say, we've got to go in the very beginning. The very beginning is talking about the kingdom of God. When the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the only one message that he ever came across with, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, repent, 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 kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. Now, when you repent, you've got an awful lot of good news coming for you. If you don't repent, you've got a lot of bad news coming for you.
Yeah, I mean, just another way of what you're talking about is that there is the reality that the Creator is going to realign the way that the world operates back to the way He designed it to be. And when we seek the kingdom of God, we live now with that future reality that the world is going to be reset. He's going to hit the reset button. So that's basically what it means to seek the kingdom of God today. We live as if God were reigning over
us. Yeah, He does reign over
that's
us.
Right.
He owns us, and that's not a bad thing, by the way. Unless it's a bad thing for you. If you don't like Him owning you, well, get out. Get out. Tell Him I want nothing to do with you. You know, He says, okay, goodbye.